This is our daily reading for August 28th. We're going to start the book of Ephesians today. The books of Philemon, Colossians, Ephesians, and Philippians were all written, as far as we can tell, very close together around AD 61, over the course of several months during that time period. So when we think about Ephesians chapter 1, and we talk about how a lot of times Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians contain a lot of the same information, that may be because they were written so close together and dealing with perhaps some of the same issues amongst those congregations. However, they are written a little bit differently, so many times if you don't quite get something in one of the others may state it a little bit differently and it becomes more evident. Let's begin in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. It's difficult really to find a stopping point here in the beginning of Ephesians, but we will just go with the chapter division here. Just keep in mind that chapter 2, he keeps going with, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. So we are stopping in the middle of a thought, but we need to stop somewhere and make a break. So when he addresses the Ephesians, he does so much the same way he does in other letters, as we've talked about before. But he spends a good amount of time here talking about how blessed it is to be a Christian. I hope that when you read it, you feel something stirred within you to realize what an incredible blessing it is to be a child of God, to be a disciple of Christ, to wear the name Christian proudly and faithfully. He blesses God and Jesus and mentions that every spiritual blessing comes through Jesus in those heavenly places, and that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. That is, he chose those who would be his children. That is, those who would desire the blessings of being in Christ. There are some false teachings that come out of Ephesians chapter 1 because of the English word here, that this idea of predestined. And understand that we have free will. The entire Bible is full of illustrating that God gave man free will to choose whether to align ourselves with him or whether to align ourselves with self and thus with Satan as well. So that free will overrides any idea that man has come up with that somehow God chooses us specifically as individuals to be in Christ, to be righteous, to be holy, to be cleansed. Now the gospel is very clear that we have that choice whether to accept Jesus as a Lord and Savior or not. It doesn't change what he did, but understand that that free will comes into play. And if you have questions on that, I'll be glad to go into that deeper with you on a personal basis. I'm not going to turn this reading today into dealing with that in depth. But he talks about being adopted as sons through Jesus Christ. I mean, if you think about God as a royal family, the idea of being adopted into a royal family is incredible. And he says this was the purpose of his will. His whole will was for us to become his sons, adopted into this family. And that is to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us. You see what I mean? You ought to feel something stirring within you right now. If you're a Christian, you should have a huge smile on your face because Paul is saying you are blessed beyond measure. You have the greatest things that could be given to anyone. You have become sons of God, children of God. He goes on to say that in him we have redemption through his blood, the sacrifice of his body on that cross. This brings us the forgiveness of our trespasses, and this again is according to the riches of his grace. It's not something we earn, but it is something God gives to those who accept his mercy. He lavishes this upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things, things in heaven and things on earth. This has been God's plan from the very beginning. From even before creation, God has planned the salvation of man. That includes all that we read within the Old Testament, which is a tutor to bring us to Christ, who has then become our Lord and Savior, through whom we have this forgiveness of sins, and in him we have obtained an inheritance. This is according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, or according to his will, so that we who were first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. And if God wasn't faithful to his word, if he didn't hold up to his end of the bargain, if you will, or the covenant is a better word to use, because he offers and we accept and enter into that covenant relationship with him. But he's saying God is faithful, and if God wasn't faithful, it wouldn't be to his praise and it wouldn't bring glory to him. But what we do is we bring glory to God by being obedient to him, by being Christians, by being holy and righteous in his sight, living in such a way as we are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. And so he says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, and believed implies obedience as well. Even the devils believe and tremble, but they don't obey. It is belief plus obedience that brings you to the salvation. And we're sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, until we reach that point in which we are welcomed into heaven. And so he says, for this reason, and because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks to you. Give thanks for their obedience. Give thanks that they listen to the gospel. Give thanks that they act out the gospel in the way that they live their lives, including the love that they show for others. So he says, I'm praying for you, and that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. That will only be more glory to God, that they grow in their faith and their service toward him. He says, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance of the saints, what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ. All of this is to the glory of God, but all of this also is to the blessings of being in Christ. I tell you, it's moving, it's stirring. We should feel that we are truly blessed beyond measure as Christians when we read of Paul's description of how incredible these blessings are and the wonderful hope that we have in Christ. Christ has been placed in that position above all rule and authority and power and dominion, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the one to come. And he deserves it. He deserves it as the Son of God. He deserves it as the Lamb of God. He put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church. He gave him the authority. And the church is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Kind of a quick reading for today, but that feels like a lot. It feels like a lot to consider for today. And if you're listening to this in the morning, I hope that this will be with you for the rest of the day and will motivate you to live your life for God to the best of your ability today. And as you live that life for God, I ask that you continue in prayer that God may be with us all.